Questions. We all have questions. And many questions are being asked in these days in which we live. I suppose the most common one is, when will things get back to normal? Is that not what everybody wants to know? Some sort of normality in our lives, some sort of routine once again. Getting out to the house of God as we used to so much enjoy, singing His praises as His people and so on. And yet it seems like things might never be the same again. And yet throughout the ages, man has always had questions of one type or another. I decided to search the internet to see what the most popular question was. The first one was to do with something to do with an IP, which I have nothing at all about, so I passed that one to the side. But the second most popular question, the search for each and every month with 1.8 million times asked, was, what time is it? Now, that was a surprise to me. You think with all the technology that we have, with watches, with mobile phones, etc., etc., most people would know what time it is. But 1.83 million people each month, not each year, but each month, want to know what time it is. But if we were to ask the question this evening to you sitting here in Market Hill, what is the most important question in your mind? Right at this moment, right at this point in time, what is the most important question to you? I believe the responses would be varied, perhaps ranging from health to politics and many other things beside. Things that are upon our minds day by day, things that affect our lives in every sort of a way. There have been many answers to questions given throughout the course of history. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" But I believe Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. got it wrong. This, in my opinion, and this, in the opinion of God's Word, is not the most persistent and urgent question. I want to put it to you this evening, a question of gravest importance to you and I today, whether you're sitting in this meeting or whether you're listening at home online. Life's most persistent, life's most urgent question. And this evening it is that question which Pontius Pilate asked 2,000 years ago. And thousands upon thousands and millions have asked it since. And thousands upon thousands and yea millions have answered it within themselves. Dear friends, the answer given to that question will determine your eternal salvation and your eternal security. And it is found in the passage which we read tonight. It is the question which Pilate asked. And it is the question that I ask to you here this evening in Market Hill, or wherever you be listening online. Pilate asked the question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And this evening I ask you the question, "What shall you do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" I want you to ask the question in your own heart, as Pilate asked, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Tonight, there is no more important question that you can ask or be asked. There are several key points which I would like us to consider as we ask this question tonight. Let me say from the very outset that every one of us will have to do something with Jesus Christ this evening. Across our land and yea, across the world tonight, many a soul does want nothing whatsoever to do with Jesus Christ. If I were to go round the houses in the locality here, if I were to knock the doors, there would be many responses. There would be those who would pass themselves and say, "Well, okay, it's something I might consider." There would be those who would be polite and say that they had little or no interest in Jesus Christ. They just hoped that all would be okay with their soul. There would be others still who would, as we say, give us dogs abuse. They would profane the lovely name of my Saviour. Perhaps you say, preacher, I would never do that. I would never do that. But again, I ask you, what shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You know, Pilate tried to pass the problem on of what he would do with Jesus, but he failed. He passed the problem to Herod. He passed the problem to the Jews. But the men of Jerusalem were like many in our nation, and perhaps someone in our meeting or listening on tonight. And they cried, we will have Barabbas. We want nothing to do with Christ. Why? Because all are born in sin and shape in iniquity. And men love darkness rather than light. They love evil over good. They love their sin and its pleasures rather than, as they see, being bound to serve God and to make Christ Lord and Master of their lives. But Pilate had a problem. And as we would say, the buck stopped with him. For it was Pilate who had to make a decision what he would do with Christ. He had to make a choice one way or another. And dear friend, this evening, so have you. Every man and woman in this building will have to do something with Christ tonight. And what, can I ask, will your answer be to life's most persistent and urgent question? What shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I suggest, firstly, that you must either accept him or reject him. You must either accept him or reject him. The Lord Jesus Christ offers himself to each and every man, each and every woman, each and every child in this building this evening. And dear friend, unless you definitely accept him, then you definitely reject him. Every man, woman, and child will go out of this building tonight having either decided to accept Christ or to reject him. Dear friends, there's no middle ground. A preacher once said to a gentleman going out of a meeting one night like this, "So, Mr. So-and-so, are you going to accept Christ tonight?" The man replied, "Sir, I am not going to accept him tonight, but I want you to understand that I do not reject him." The preacher replied, "I know nothing of the kind. Jesus Christ offers himself to you, and if you do not accept him, your refusal to accept him is to reject him." And dear friend, this evening you too will go out of the building, or if you're in your home, you will go to your bed, either having accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, or having rejected him. And dear friend, you must either accept him as Lord of all, or not Lord at all. Many today in our society, in churches up and down our land, wish to accept Christ on their own terms. They want salvation for eternity, but they do not want to serve the Master. They wish to live good, clean lives, doing no one any harm. Perhaps even living by strict rules in many cases, trusting in their own righteousness, seeking for peace with God by good works. And friends, you will never get peace of conscience. You will never know eternal salvation and security by good works, or by prayers, or by penance. And many have tried to get peace that way and have failed. Martin Luther, the great reformer, after his wild university life, was roused to the sense of the fact that he was a sinner in the sight of God. In order to try and escape from his sin, he joined a monastery where he tried to find peace by good works, by long nights of prayer, by penance, by doing anything that he could, but he failed. Dear friend, Luther's heart was in turmoil. And so he went to Rome thinking that there he would find peace with God. And he started to climb up the steps at St. Peter's on his knees, hoping to find peace and acceptance with God in that way. But again, no satisfaction could be found. In fact, it took him further from God, and it distressed him in soul and spirit. For the more he tried, the more unworthy he felt. At last, the words of God came ringing in his ears. The just shall live by faith. And Martin Luther put his faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. He accepted Christ alone. Not Christ in penance, not Christ in the church, not Christ in works, but Christ alone by faith. And he found peace with God. Dear friend, tonight, you can find peace with God in Christ alone. Oh, my friend, you will either accept him or reject him this evening. I ask you once more, what shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? But I also want to consider that you must either confess him or deny him. You must either confess him or deny him. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, the Lord said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Tonight, you must do one or the other. You must confess Christ, or you must deny Christ. There are just two parties in this world today: the confessed followers of Christ and the deniers of Christ. And dear friend, you belong to one or the other. Which one is it? Are you a confessor that Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is your Lord and Savior? Or do you deny him as your Savior and your Master? The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, noted, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Oh, many people across our land have sat back and made decisions, as it were, for Christ. But they look back because of fear of what others might say. Or they give it a go and it doesn't work out. Dear friend, our land is full of false professions. There are many people who are very much like Lot's wife. Oh, they were once troubled. They heard a gospel message and their hearts were troubled, and it seemed that they were fleeing from sin unto Christ. They went home and perhaps even spent a restless night. But as they got up in the morning, as the sun began to shine, their trouble seemed to flee away. And they were Lot, like Lot's wife, and they looked back and they were lost. The Lord Jesus Christ gave a stark warning to such in Luke chapter 9. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come into his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." Dear friend, regardless of the cost, will you confess Christ as your Savior, or will you deny him tonight? Oh, how dreadful to hear those eternal words when you stand before the Lord on that judgment day. "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So again, I ask the question, what shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you confess him or will you deny him? But I want us to notice also that you must either be for Christ or against Christ. The great hymn that I'm sure most of us all know so well, of Francis Ridley Havergal: "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go?" The hymn takes its lines from the words of Moses back in Exodus 32. Moses stands in the gate of the camp. And he says to the children of Israel, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." The background to that verse is a tragic account of backsliding in the life of the children of Israel. In the previous chapters, the Lord had given them the Ten Commandments, and he had outlined the way in which he was to be worshipped. The people, therefore, were not ignorant as to what God expected and what he forbid. And yet Moses returned up the mountain to commune with the Lord, and the people below grew impatient, and they took matters into their own hands and decided how they would worship God as they saw appropriate. And as Moses returned down the mountain, he was met with the sound of partying. Then he saw their behavior. Finally, he saw the image that they had set up in the midst of the camp. Nothing of that scene was glorifying to God. Nothing from that scene was what God had outlined in his word. And so Moses issued the call. "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." Well, many looked to false religion. Many set up their own gods in order to merit salvation. But the question tonight is, are you for Christ or are you against Christ? Are you on the Lord's side or not? Well, times have not changed. Right across our land, we see that men in their own wisdom have perverted worship with their own ideas. They want to mix it up, make it more appealing to the ordinary folk. A bit of compromise here, a bit of drama or lively music or a few lights there to set the mood. But the scriptures tell us that God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Not according to what we think would be good and attract others. No, my friend. Standing for Christ will mean the ridicule of society. It is not, nor has it ever been, socially acceptable to stand for Christ and to speak out against the sin of this world. The Lord speaking, Paul in Acts 9 said, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Are you prepared, dear friend, this evening to stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross? Dear friend, you will have to join the battle to defend his name. Even before your friends, those who are his enemies outside of Christ. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me." That's right, every man that is not with Christ is against him. The great Bible preacher and teacher R.A. Torrey said, "Every man that is not openly, decidedly, confessedly, out and out for Christ is against Christ. You either have to take your stand with John the beloved apostle and Peter the warm-hearted and Paul the heroic and all the noble band of confessors and martyrs and servants of the Son of God. Or you have to take your stand with Pontius Pilate and Herod and Judas Iscariot." Oh, you say, "Preacher, hold on a minute. Don't put me in that list. Don't put me in that list. I'm not like Herod. I'm not like Pontius Pilate. And I'm certainly not like Judas Iscariot." Dear friend, you're either for Christ or you're against Christ. There is no middle ground. If I were to divide this building right down the center this evening, and if I knew your heart like the Lord knows your heart, and I were to start and point to one or the other and say, "Move to this side or that side," my friend, which side would you be on? Well, perhaps you're out here tonight. You have your shirt, you have your tie on, you have your hat on. Whatever the case may be. But if you search your own heart, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of Christ? Or are you on the side of those who are against Christ? What shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? One final thought as we close this evening. You must either let him into your heart
or you must shut him out. Which will you do? Will you let him into your heart, or will you shut him out? The Lord Jesus Christ says in Revelation chapter 3 and 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." The Lord Jesus Christ this evening, even here in Market Hill, even where you're sitting in your own living room, he's standing knocking. He's knocking at your heart and he's knocking at mine. I wonder, will you throw your heart door wide open and say, "Lord Jesus, come in"? Or will you shut the door of your heart and bar it and say, "Tonight, stay out, Lord Jesus"? Every one of us will say one or the other. Dear friend, the door is either open or it's closed. You're either in on the inside or you're on the outside. There is no middle ground. Paul confessed that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom he was chief. And dear friend, can I ask you, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who left the splendor of heaven, the one who gave himself on Calvary's cross, the one who bore the sin and reproach of men, the one who bore the wrath of God upon his own body, do you see the loathsomeness of your sin in the sight of a holy and a just God? Or do you realize that you will either be for Christ or against Christ? That he will either be on the inside or on the outside, that you must deny him or confess him? Sin must be punished. A just, righteous, and a holy God says that sin must be punished. And friend, tonight, if you're not trusting Christ as your Savior, then your sin must be punished. I don't say that to scare you into making some decision. I tell you out of love. I tell you out of concern for your soul. Dear friend, you're either in Christ or out of Christ. You're either saved or you're lost. And you'll either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. Friend, these are solemn thoughts. And yet God in his mercy sent his only begotten Son to bleed and die on Calvary's cross for sinners such as you and I. Tonight, dear friend, if I was asked to ask the question a final time, what would your answer be? What shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? We have showed the options. There is no middle ground. Pilate washed his hands, but he made his choice. And Pilate got it wrong. And dear friend, you must make your choice before you leave this place tonight. And I pray that you'll not get it wrong. I pray that you will turn to Christ, that you will ask him for forgiveness, that you will seek his face, and you'll make him Lord of your life. But dear friend, one day that question will change, and it will no longer be, "What shall you do with Christ?" But it will be, "What will Christ do with you? What will Christ do with you?" On that day, what do you think Christ will do? Will he say, "There is that man, that woman whom called. There is that person to whom I give opportunity time and time and time again as they sat under the gospel message. And yet, they rejected them all. Depart from me, I never knew you." Praise God. That day has not come. The Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And friend, there's still opportunity. We're still in the day of salvation. Oh, tonight, what shall you do with Jesus, which is called Christ?